Lord, everyone. You can be seated. The presence of the Lord is so awesome in this building tonight. Are you glad for the presence of the Lord? How many's glad for the presence of the Lord? Hallelujah. 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 I don't know if we can find words to describe what we felt in these services. The Lord is so good. I'd just like for all the pastors' wives to stand before I read a scripture tonight. All the pastors' wives. I don't know everybody, but I know a lot of them. Some of these have been our supporters for many, many years. And upon the shoulders of these noble women comes a great responsibility. You may not realize it as a saint tonight because you usually see their husbands up front. But they're right beside of him in spirit. And they're fighting the battles just right with him. I want to talk for just a few minutes. You can be seated. I just want to see how many pastors' wives is here. I want to especially talk to the pastors' wives tonight. Now, I'll confess, I feel very, very inadequate tonight. I live in another country, and for 45 years I've lived in another country, and our culture and our ways of thinking is often very different from America. Sometimes I kind of feel like a fish out of water. But I'm glad we serve the same Jesus. I said I'm glad we serve the same Jesus. We may be fighting the same devil that you're fighting, but we serve the same Jesus. I'm so glad for him tonight. There's so many sisters that I see here tonight that could do such a better job than me. But I promised I would do it. And I prayed. And I feel like the Lord gave me something. I've never felt like I was an accomplished public speaker. It makes me nervous to get before a crowd. You didn't know that, did you? But it does. It makes me very, very nervous. But I found out if we will depend upon the Lord, sometimes it's better not to know anything that's going on here in America and just come to a ladies' meeting and you can just say whatever the Lord tells you. Nobody can say, well, Sister Alvear knows because she's been to our church or she's heard our people talk, because I don't know. But I know a Jesus that knows. I said, I know a Jesus that knows. Hallelujah. I want to thank Sister Johnson, Sister Weeks, for inviting me to come to this special meeting. It's been my privilege to be here. So blessed. I'm blessed that Brother Alvear is with us. He just came in. He's way back there. I know you think your husband's the best looking, but I think mine is. And he told me, he said, I'm going to slip in and listen to you. Now in Brazil, our ladies' meetings are different than here in America many times. Many of the areas the men come. I remember one ladies' meeting, one of the pastors came and sat down with the sisters, and I said, where's your wife? He said, I came to listen, and I'll tell her what you said. I told you I was from a different world. You want to read with me tonight from the book of Genesis. I may not pronounce these words like you do in English because I'm so used to Portuguese, but I'm going to read it. Genesis 32 and 30 and 31. I hope this is from the King James. I just got it off the internet. Copy it. I have this bad habit. I forget to look to see if it's King James here in America. I'm so used to doing it in Portuguese, and we don't have all these translations. I went to one church, and I read a scripture that I just caught and copied down from the internet, and after church, the pastor's wife came and said, "Sister Alvar, I am so shocked at the translation you're using." I said, "Well," I said, "I just copied it down. Will you please forgive me?" But Genesis 32 and 30 and 31 said, "So Jacob named the place." And how do you say it in English? Peniel? Is that the way you say it? That's the way we say it. For he said, Peniel. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Now the sun rose up upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. You can sit down. The word of God is blessed. I want to speak to you tonight, to you beautiful, beautiful ladies, on this thought. Limping, but I made it. Limping, but I made it. We're gonna make it, Sister Malone. We might get there limping, but we're gonna make it. How many believes we're gonna make it? Oh, hallelujah! I decided a long time ago that I'm going through. Some of you young people may not know the song, but years ago when I was a young girl, my pastor's wife used to sing, "I'm going through, Lord. I'm going through." I decided a long time ago at a Pentecostal altar, "I'm going through, Lord. I'm going through." It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter what I'll have to pay or what I'll have to face today or tomorrow. I've got a made up mind. I'm going through. I'm going to make it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I remember in the hot fires of a burning trial, Brother Taylor, now I grew up in his church. Some of the loopers know him, and some of you know Brother Brian Taylor. I grew up in his church in Arkansas, and several years ago, we were going through a burning hot, red hot trial. How many's ever been through a trial? We were going through a trial, and our phone didn't stop ringing. It was somebody answering, somebody else would answer, and it just kept on ringing. And one day, Brother Taylor called me, and he said, "Well, how are you doing, Sister?" He calls me Sister Janice. "How are you doing, Sister Janice?" I said, "Brother Taylor, I was a missionary before the trial started, and I'm going to be a missionary when it's all over." That is the way that we've got to go through our trials. That is the way, the spirit we have to take with us. When we're on the mountain, it's easy to sing, "I'm going through, Jesus." But when we get way down in the valley, I said, when we get way down in the valley, and things aren't as pink and as rosy as they once was, and the night is dark and it's broken. And I'll tell you right off, if you've never been broken, you get broken. And most of us will be like Jacob was. We're just allowed to be limping. My sister wrote me one time, she said, I feel like a rag muffin. We may feel like a rag muffin before it's over. But as long as we can say, I'm going through. I'm going through. Now, some of you pastors, why don't you look at Sister Alvia a minute? Have you ever had people leave your church and disappoint you? Huh? Just be honest. It's just us here tonight. Well, we have it happen in Brazil. Sure, you have it happening here. Now, they come up and they say, well, I really don't have anything against you personally. You are a good person. But they found an easier way. But through it all, we can still say, I'm going through. Now listen, I want to read to you, this is from Portuguese, but I'm going to translate it. Jacob was left alone. It's Genesis 32 and part of this same scripture. I'm just going to paraphrase it. And a man, that's talking about the Lord, wrestled with him until the beginning of the day. Now when he saw he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. You listening? I'm not going to let the presence of the Lord go until the blessing comes. He said to Jacob, your name shall be no longer called Jacob, but Israel, which means the Prince of God. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it you ask my name? And he blessed him there. There's always been a mystery in the Old Testament about the name of the Lord. Great men wanted to know his name. But you and I today, in the dispensation that we live in, we are blessed to know his name. The angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, talking about limping, I'm just going to be real honest with you tonight. Real plain. Some of you know the story, but for the sake of those that don't, if you know the story, just bear with me a minute. When I was 8 years old, I had a visitation from the Lord. Now, my father was not a preacher. He was an alcoholic back then. Of course, in later life, he got saved. But back then, he was an alcoholic. Only my mother went to church, and she took us to church. Now, some of us know what it is to go to church all the time. Brother Taylor said, God heals. Back then, you just believed God healed. We got the chicken pox, and Brother Taylor said, maybe Sister our maiden name was Taylor, but we're no kin. And Brother Taylor said to my mother, Sister Taylor, maybe you better leave those girls at home. She said, now, Brother Taylor, you said Jesus heals. She took us to church with a chicken pox. But when I was 8 years old, I had a visitation from the Lord. I woke up and I saw Jesus in my room. And Jesus walked over to my bed and sat down beside of me. I slept with my two sisters that are younger than me. And I was not afraid. I knew it was Jesus in my childlike way. And he said several things to me. But he said these words. This is a part of what he said. When you get out of high school, I remember I was just barely in grade school. He said, when you get out of high school, I want you to go to Brazil and be a missionary. I told my mother, that was on a Sunday morning. Sunday school mother went and told Brother Taylor, said, Janice said, the Lord visited her last night. Brother Taylor said, well, Sister Taylor, what did she say that he said? And my mother said, she said that the Lord called her to be a missionary. Brother Taylor said, well, Sister Taylor, I want to tell you something. If Janice really saw the Lord, and he really did call, she'll never forget. I was 8 years old. I'll be 63 in just a little while. But that visitation is just like it happened last night. I can still feel the Lord as he reached and took my little hand in his hand. He said, I will go with you. I went to Brother Holmes' Christian school. I told my teachers, the time I was in grade school, I want to be a missionary. Sure am. I want to be a missionary. I don't think they believed it at first. But I told them in the sixth grade, I'm still going to be a missionary. Well, in the seventh grade, I said, I want to be a missionary. In the eighth grade, I said, I'm going to be a missionary. The ninth grade, I said, I'm going to be a missionary. In the tenth grade, I said, I'm going to be a missionary. Now, if you have a Christian school, you know you have about the same teachers every year. Well, those poor teachers that heard it year after year, I'm going to be a missionary. And in the 11th grade, I said, I'm going to be a missionary. And in 1968, the month of May, I turned 18. The month of May, I graduated. And the month of June, my teachers had got some money together and different ones had helped me. And I went to Brazil, barely 18 years old. I didn't know. I got off that plane. I didn't know if they were saying good morning or good night. I didn't know very much what was going on. But when I stepped off that plane, there was a people that walked into my heart. And I felt an immense love for them. And I knew that that was where I was supposed to be. As the time went by, one day, my mother said to Brother Taylor, what do you think, Brother Taylor? He said, I got a letter yesterday from Janice. Said the letter said, Pastor Taylor, I found the desire of my heart. He said, we've lost her from our church. She's really going to be a missionary. God has really called. But see, I was just a kid. I was barely 18. And I would go places and after I got back the first time from Brazil, and I still wasn't quite 19 then. And they say, you? You mean you wasn't over there just making a little visit? You're planning on going back? Yes. God called me to be a missionary. You? You're going to be a missionary? Yeah, I'm going to be a missionary. Unbelievable. Why? Well, you're not old enough. Besides that, you're a girl. What would you do over there? I said, I don't know. I don't know, but God called me to go, so I'm going. I really didn't know. All I knew, I didn't know enough of the language at first. I just got me some tracts. I hope those tracks said be baptized in Jesus' name. I just went to a bookstore and bought some tracks. I didn't know enough of the language. You just start handing them out. And at least I'll say something about Jesus. But I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be a missionary. Well, people made fun of me. You know, you'd think, oh, boy. They ought to be clapping their hands. You know, she's going to be a missionary. And my friend said, you'll never marry. You're going to be an old maid. I mean, old maid missionary. I said, oh, I want to get married. I'm talking about being broken. For 4 years. A mission field is a lonely place. You go there for a visit, it's very exciting. If you go there to live, it's another story. It can be very long. I went up into these areas where there was no one. No one had heard about Jesus. I didn't know very much of Portuguese, but I was studying and I was trying to learn. And I'd sit at their little tables with their little lanterns. Those areas, they didn't have electricity. And I'd read to them in their language. Then Peter said, that's about the way you learn another language. You don't just go there. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Today I can do it. Dizem-lhe Pedro, arrependei vós e seja batizado em nome de Jesus Cristo para perdão de vossos pecados e recebereis o dom do Espírito Santo. But back then, it was a different story. Then Peter said unto them, and what's that word? Oh, repent, repent. I didn't even have a home most of the time. I had a friend over there. From Williams' church, but that I could say that was my home. I'd go to these people's house and just take my little bag and just say, I've come to stay 2 weeks with you. All they had back in those areas was corn shuck mattresses. So they just shake the corn shucks and make room for me to lay down. Well, I'm going to be a missionary. I didn't have internet and cell phones. I had no idea what was happening here in America. It was different almost 50 years ago. But I'm going to be a missionary. And slowly begin to win these little people. And we begin to, I said, we need to build a little building. In one of the little areas. But how do you build a building if you don't have any money? And I was just a kid. I said, we'll just make some bricks. And I got a son up in, we got a son up in the Amazon. He makes his blocks. But we just started making mud bricks. Started putting up a little mud church. Well, who's the pastor? Well, we don't have one. We're going to have one because I want to be a missionary. Four years went by. I had these people in different little areas. But way far back, way far back. One day, Sister Roxy Ray said to me, Janice, she said, let's go to Juan LVR's convention. Well, I didn't know Juan LVR, but I knew his wife, Dorothy, that's American. So we went to the convention. And lo and behold, there was this black-headed guy leading the service. Wow, he was a knockout. But I didn't know him, never seen him before. I will get serious in a few minutes, but I've got to get this part done. And after this little service, he came, this guy, and he looked at me and he said, first thing he said, I'm going to marry you. Well, I'd been praying for a husband, but I didn't know him. And I said, well, I don't know so much about that. I don't even know you. Besides that, I heard children wasn't very nice to their wives. Oh, he said, oh, you can pray about it. Well, I'm glad he gave me permission. You can pray about it if you want to, but I'm going to marry you, because when you walked in, the Lord spoke to me and said, that girl is going to be your wife. Well, see, he was a city slicker. You know that expression? I'm from Arkansas. He was a city slicker. He was used to the big cities of Chile and the big cities of Brazil and all of this. And here I worked in this way far back lands where they didn't even have electricity. And I went back, you know, and I told my people, I said, you know, there's somebody that likes me. And of course they said the first thing. I was their only voice. The only voice of God that they had ever heard to that point. And they said, oh, missionary, are you going to leave us? No one would ever come back here. And I said, if he is the one, I will fleece the Lord, but I won't tell him. But I will say, would you like to see the people that I went into the Lord? So one day I said to him, I said, would you like to meet some of the people I won to the Lord? And he said, oh, that would be awesome. So we drive back in these backlands, and you open 13, 16, 18 gates to get to places, and you don't even know if there's a big old tiger going to jump out of somewhere at you, or if you're going to step on a snake or what. It's backlands. I mean, it's backlands. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, he's never been back to a place like this. But when he got back there and he saw those people, most of them didn't know how to read, just a few of them. The women never know how to read back in those areas, just a few of the men. And he started talking to them. And he saw how hungry they were. On the way home, I said, well, what do you think? Did you like my people? He said, Janice. He said, I'm not only going to marry you, but we're going to move back there. And we're going to take care of those people. This is God. I knew it was God. In 6 months, we were married. And we moved back to those backlands. And it wasn't easy. Well, I have a washing machine today. I live in a nice house when I'm there. But back then, the little church sisters, they said, oh, missionary, we're going to teach you how to wash clothes in the river. And I go down to the river with them. Come here, sister. I go down to the river and they say, now this is the way you do it. And I watch them when they get those clothes. And I say, you hit them on the rock. I learned how to wash clothes. I hit those clothes on the rock. I don't know if that made them clean or not, but that's what we did. We hit them on the rock. And then they said, I just lay them out here on the rocks here. The sun's going to get them real nice and white. When they're almost dry, we'll get them wet again in the river. And we'll rinse them out. You think that was easy for a little American girl? You think that was easy? It was hard. I look at their food. My stomach would turn 2 or 3 times. I'd eat it. Because I love them. I love them. When our son, Earl Jr., was born, we didn't have any insurance. We don't even have any today. He took me to this little hospital in that little city, and I watched them write on the little paper where they write what I was. They wrote a beggar. A beggar. I didn't have anything, so I guess I was a beggar. It was a little Catholic hospital. Little Catholic sisters, they were so sweet. So they're not devil-possessed. They're people like us. They're just in darkness. And they come and say, can I help you? I remember it was a Saturday night. And I was crying. And the mother, the one that's over them, Mother Superior, she came and she said, little one, why are you crying? I said, well, I've never missed a Saturday night not going to church. She said, do you love your religion that much? I said, I love it that much. Before I left that hospital, the Earl Jr. was born on Sunday. Before I left, she brought me a little present. She said, I've never seen anybody that loved their religion that much. You know where the water was being piped into that hospital from? Not from a clean place. From a dirty river in the valley of that city. It's not always been easy. But the journey has been worth it. See, sometimes we walk by faith and not by sight. I was in a convention. This was when I was single. And this big, well-known preacher walked up to me. He said so loud, it was so embarrassing. You wouldn't believe this, but I'm timid by nature. And he said, what do you think you're doing in Brazil? A lot of people stop and listen. I said, well, I'm just telling the people about Jesus. He said, do you know that you're going to be lost? I didn't know what to say. I said, if I'm lost for telling them about Jesus, I'm one, and there are many. I'm willing to be lost that they could be saved. There are experiences that break us. There are experiences that hurt us. There are words that people say that cut us to the bone. Have you ever been cut to the bone? Instead of somebody saying, well, little girl, that's so awesome that you leave your family, your mother and your daddy, and you go to those backlands and you tell them people about Jesus. He was just telling me off. But see, I decided even if I limp, I'm going to make it. See, God had to make a drastic change in Jacob. Because the place where Jacob was called the face of God. You know that? The face of God. That same word is used in Psalms 24 and 6 about the face of God. There comes a time in our life we have to learn to depend upon the Lord and Him alone. Is that true? You pastors' wives know it's true. Now we can understand it better why Jacob limped. Why his thigh was put out, that joint was put out of place. When we hear the words of the New Testament, Mark says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better for you to go into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be cast into hellfire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It would just be better to go to heaven limping than to go to hell walking on both feet. I cannot promise you, future pastors' wives that are here, that you won't be hurt. See, when you look at these pastors' wives, Sister Weeks, would you mind standing? I know you feel good, but when you look at Sister Weeks and you think, oh, how beautiful. Oh, look at those clothes. They must pay good tithes down there. Oh, my goodness, look at that. Sister Johnson, come here, Sister Johnson. That why they must really pay good tithes around Lebanon. Why, she looks like a queen. She is a queen. But see, what you don't understand is the nights they stay up praying for you. When you miss church, thank you, he's in. You know, that little buzz in their head is just going round and round. Wonder where they were at. What were they doing? In our church in Brazil, Brother Alvear just conducted a men's seminar. Well, I didn't go. But he just conducted a men's seminar. We have a pastor's son. But sometimes kids that are raised in pastor's homes, you think, boy, they just sort of sail on the glory. Sometimes they are the most rebellious because they get hurt. They get hurt. And a lot of times they can't fight back because who daddy is. And who mama is. And I'm not taking up for pastors' children that do wrong. I've got some that need to do better. I understand that. But we have a pastor's son that was just at men's retreat. Let me tell you a little story. He was raised in the home of one of the best pastors we have ever had in Brazil. His father is very, very old now. But his father has been one of the greatest soldiers of the cross. I never remember a night that Brother Alvear and myself ever had to worry about Pastor Matos. If there was a shaking going on in the church, a shaking going on in the work, we always knew Brother Matos would stand right by our side. But for some reason, sometimes, kids go wrong and make wrong choices. And he did. His name is Amarildo. He became not only a dangerous bandit. Now, he was not dangerous to us, no. I remember one time he was shot in the knee and there was gangs all around. He called the house. This was many years ago. And this was even before he got so dangerous. And he said, missionary, would you come pray for me? And Brother Alvear said, it's dangerous. I said, well, can I go? And he said, well, go, but be careful. So I walked in, he was quite young, maybe 17, so he was kind of laying on a little bed, and he said, shut the door, missionary. He said, I want to tell you something. So I shut the door, and he said, open up that closet. And I opened up a little closet, and it was full of guns. He said, you don't have to be afraid here. He said, there's gangs out there watching my house. He said, but my men knew you were coming. So I'm glad. He said, I want you to pray for me. I prayed for his leg. Right, and then shot. I didn't ask questions. What had really happened, I kind of knew. But from there, it seemed like as time passed, he just got worse, and he killed people. And there came a time in his life when he robbed 2 banks in 1 day and killed 3 people during that robbery. And he was being sought for as one of the most wanted criminals of Brazil. He was a fugitive and going through the mountains and running from the police. But those dogs that the police have were after him. He had crossed several mountains, and the police, every once in a while, they had him in sight and they would shoot, and he would fall down. But finally he couldn't go anymore. He just fell out. And the police came. They were holding guns over him. Now life doesn't mean anything in South America. It's not even like here in America. They just kill you at the drop of the hat. And he said, I prayed a prayer. As those dogs were barking, the police had their guns on me, their rifles. He said, God, if there's any hope for me, let me live. And by a miracle of God, they took him. Of course, they had all these trials and things. And he was put in prison. It really should have been a life sentence. I remember the day he sent me word and said, missionary, bring me a Bible. And I took him my Bible that was already marked. A lot of scriptures, and I said, Amarillo, this is marked, the scriptures. This is my Bible I'm going to give you. He stayed in prison for several years, but through an act of God, he got out of prison. And he came to church, made his life right with God, and started preaching. Saturday, 3 weeks ago, in the same mountains, where the police had sought him years before this, he was at men's retreat. He said, I should have died in these mountains. I should have died in these mountains. But God had mercy on me. And God broke him into a way that today you would never dream unless you really know. That one day he killed people and robbed banks. He's so kind and so gentle. But it took a long process of God breaking that boy to make him in his likeness. See, for us to be made in the likeness of God, sometimes we're going to have to give up some things that we like. And we're going to have to go some places that we might not like to go and do some things that seemingly is beyond our capacity. Going to heaven to me means that I'll spend my life 오늘 미실게요. Some of you have heard me tell this, and I'm kind of rehearsing things that some of, but I feel this in my spirit because there's future pastors' wives here. When our son, one of our adopted sons, his mother was martyred in the country of Paraguay. He was the oldest of five children. He was 14 when his mother was martyred. She was our first missionary to Paraguay. That's another country from Brazil. When he came to us and said he was going to move among the Indians of Brazil, he knew the sacrifice that he would have to make. I'm not going to go into that story. But his daughter, Sabrina, she was 12, I believe it was, when they moved there, 11 or 12. She cried every day. My phone rang every day, and she would say to me, Grandmother, will you come rescue me? You wouldn't like your kids running around seeing it naked Indians either. Killer Indians. Indians that the signs along the way says the Brazilian government is not responsible for what these Indians did. You see, our lady felt a burden. A burden. A burden. But Sabrina said, Grandmother, I'm not called to be a missionary. Please come get me, Grandmother. I said, maybe I can't. God has called your mother and your daddy, and you have to be with them. She said, Grandmother, she said, I am afraid. No wonder she would be afraid. We've had people to visit us and want to go see the wild Indians, grown people. And they said, get us out of here, Sister Alviar. Is it really wild? One day our telephone rang and it was our lady. He said, Mother, and I could tell by the tone of his voice that something was wrong. He said, Sabrina is very, very sick. She has dengue fever. That is transmitted by a mosquito. And she is in the fourth stage of dengue fever. The fifth stage, blood starts squirting out your eyes and your nose, and there's nothing that can be done. Brother Alviar and I called Brother Taylor, and some people helped us. We made the long trip from our house all the way to the jungle to pray for Sabrina. When we got there, she was so weak, and she looked at me and she said, You're here, Grandmother. You're here, Grandpa. We said, yes, baby, we're here to pray for you. She said, how did you make the trip? She knows we live very, very, skimpy. We said, well, Brother Taylor helped us and different ones helped us put gas in. And we're here to pray for you. She said, do they love me that much? I said, oh, baby, they love you that much. We prayed for her. And God healed her. Now, that was almost 5 years ago. Now, listen to this. When was Sister Johnson, the other Sister Johnson's ladies' meeting we spoke at? Last October, she came with me to the States for the first time. And we were here a month. You know what she did the whole month? Well, she loved America, and if she could have come, she would have come this time. But the whole month, she said, Grandmother, I'm missing my people. I'm missing the jungle people. I'm missing telling him about Jesus. But see, God had
to break her at that young age so that today when she's 17, that she can have a love for the people that her daddy and her mother work among. And now she says, Grandmother, I want to always live here. But it wasn't always like that. It wasn't until God broke Jacob, until he named him Israel. It was not until Gideon's 300 broke their jars of clay that the enemy ran in fear. Esther had to break the laws of the kings and the courts for her people and for her to obtain favor before the Lord. It's a broken and a contrite spirit. We've all going to have a breaking at some point. Are you tired? I have another son. I said I would be very personal tonight. His name is Michael. Some of you know Michael. Michael had that time just to swindle. He gave that little round in the world. A little round in the world. And he said, Mother, Daddy, I love you all, but I'm never going to be a pastor. I'm never going to let people walk on me. And I'm never going to have to go to churches and beg like you all have to do. I'll get me a job. I'll make my own way in life. But you know what happened? One day he went too far out in the world. Can't, you love your children, but there's some things you can't condone. Now here's why. We live in a compound because it's very dangerous where we live. That's why they had a little house on our compound. And he had his little wild fling. And I met him at the gate, Sister Weeks. I said, you're not coming in here. Uh-uh. Not a drinking, living like you're living. He said, I live here. I said, oh no. Your wife lives here. And my grandchildren live here. I don't have any drunks that live on the compound. Marcella said, Mom, can I have him come in just to get a meal? I said, no. Just take it to the gate. Do you think that was easy? You think that was easy? That was hard. I wasn't going to have no drunk on my compound, on our compound. No. He wasn't going to shame Brother Alvear. Well, she took his meal out. This went on for weeks. Took his clothes out to the compound. Stayed somewhere else. But one day he came. He said, I've had enough of sin. I've had enough of the world. I want to do right now, Mother. And we took him over to the church. And we prayed him through. But Alvear said, now son, for 1 year, you're going to sit on the pew, on the first pew of the church, and you're not going to do anything. Well, he plays the guitar, plays the saxophone, plays the drums. You know how it is when somebody plays, it's just in their blood. But for 1 year, he sat on the pew. You know why? He had to be broke. He had to be broke. But tonight, it's a different story.
He's pastoring one of the biggest churches we have in Brazil. When he gets up, he cries. He said, I'm not even worthy. God had to break me. But see, it's only broken people that he can really use. The proud, the high-minded, those that think they know everything, God can't use people like that because they already know more than God, they think. But those that say, God, break me. Mold me. Make me. I want you to know you're going to have to do some things sometimes you don't even want to do. I don't like spiders. They said to me, missionary, we want you to go back into our village. I'd rather see an anaconda than to see a spider. Spiders give me chills. Everybody's different. I got back in that area, hung up my hammock. It was night. It was probably 120 degrees in the jungle. And a little hut made of banana leaves in the middle of the Amazon jungle. I didn't know anybody hardly back there. We had just had a baptismal service. Some of you have heard me tell this. And on this trip, and I'm telling this and I'm closing, but on this trip, the reason I'm telling you this, we have future pastors' wives here. Now, you may not have to go back to the jungles, but there'll be something you'll have to do that you don't like. And I had witnessed to a Trinity preacher and his wife. And they had invited me to their little church in the backlands of that area. And I went there, and they had some Brazilians with me, too. Well, I wasn't by myself. And they said, now, missionary, we've never had an American at our place before. You will be the show of the village. So everybody came out. You know? Pastor, he was Trinity. I just met him. He said, the missionary's going to talk to us tonight. And I thought, Lord, this is the only time I will probably ever see any of these people. So I got up and I said, well, you know, our churches are a little bit like your church. We believe in the Holy Ghost. They believed in the Holy Ghost. I said, but there is a difference. Might as well split the church while you're at it. I said, we baptize in Jesus' name. And I said, and it's in the Bible. And I just opened the Bible and began to read. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. And I read Acts 10 and Acts 19 and Acts 4 and 12 and all those favorite scriptures of ours. And I saw the little pastor and his wife slip out the little door behind that little church was a little room where they lived. And I thought, oh, they may not let us hang our hammocks here now. We don't know anybody else. But when they were praying, the pastor and his wife sent word for me to come back around to their little place. And I slipped so nice, trying to be so nice, sat down at their little humble little table. And the pastor said, you know, we've never read that before. But it's really there. My wife and I came back here to check it out. We want to be baptized. Well, I said, wonderful. I had men that was there with me. I said, wonderful. We will baptize you. They said, well, when? you leave in the morning to go back in to father back in the jungle. They said, but we'll go with you if you'll help us. I said, I'll help you, I'll go. So we got way back in the middle of nowhere. You cannot imagine how far back in it was. We walked and walked and walked in the high weeds. And I remember being so thirsty. I will always remember this little Pastor John. I said, I'm so thirsty. And right off, he just took up a coconut tree and got me a coconut. I always remember him doing that. And it was getting dark. And Pastor said, aren't you going to baptize this missionary? I said, oh, I'm going to see about it. And finally, one of the little village boys came. And I like little kids, and he was holding my hand. And I said, is there any water in this little village? He said, oh, missionary, there's a little stream. I said, well, they had, some of our people had witnessed to somebody back in that area. And two people were wanting to be baptized. I said, well, get everybody together. We'll go back there and baptize. I had preachers with me, so I wasn't afraid. As we was going back there, this humongous lizard jumped off of one of the trees onto the shoulder of one of the pastors. And I said to my little friend, I said, are there alligators in the water? He said, oh, missionary, they're asleep. Wonderful. Now we got down to the waters. Now the alligators are asleep, according to them. I said to the pastor that had come with us, I said, you can go ahead, go in their water and baptize them. And this little couple said, no. And I said, why? Because your pastor did not tell us. You told us. We want you in the water. Dark. Brother Alvear was in the States. And I got in the water. Of course, I got, you know, you can manipulate. I got the pastor who was from our work. I said, get in here with me. Just let them think I'm doing it to please them. And I was thinking, now Brother Alvear, the time difference, he's sitting at a table in America with a pastor. They're eating steak. And here I am in the middle of a jungle at night, and I hear things swimming around in the water. Oh, Lord, I'm fixing to be spanked to these alligators. I said, Brother Nisio, he was one of the pastors from our church that was with us. I said, let's get it done. Now, if you want a woman to get something done, just want a woman to do it, they get it done. You know, me and Maureen read half the Bible. And I said, Brother Nisio, let's get it done. And we got them baptized. Well, there wasn't any place to change clothes. We had to walk to this little place where they had marked to have a little service. Ripping wet clothes. We had a service. They had bought us some eggs. And some little lady went and cooked for us. We got to the little house. Of course, there's no electricity. There was a little light, kerosene light. And there's roaches and water bugs and all kinds of things crawling over our eggs. But we ate because we were hungry. If you hadn't had anything to eat for a long time, you'd been hungry too. And so we finally get our hammock. See, I'm noticing by that little light there's a humongous spider. And I'm saying to one of the girls, I said, now we ought to kill that spider. The lady of the house said, oh, they know us. I only saw one. I thought, well, they don't know me. Now, we can laugh today, but those experiences, we were going through them, are heart-rending and frightening. So they killed that poor little lady, act like she got her feelings hurt. We killed it. But the next morning, well, I got my hammock hung up. They were so sweet, they put up some bamboo leaves so the men could sleep on one side of the bamboo, the banana leaves, and the women on the other. If you've ever slept with a bunch of foreign men, you ought to try it. Well, one of the preachers said to me, he said, "Missionary, are you covered up? 100 degrees or more." I said, "No." He said, "Missionary, did you bring a blanket?" And one of the girls had come with me from the south. She said, "I brought a wool blanket." She had no idea it was hot in the jungle. He said, "Cover the missionary up. There's vampire bats flying around." And I thought, Lord, the alligator didn't need me. We got that spider killed. And now the vampire bats won't get me because I'm going to be under this wool cover. But I am going to smother to death. This is really true, what I'm telling you. The next morning, you know, being tired is the best friend the missionary can have. The next morning, I heard the preachers talking, because they all know I don't like spiders. And they said, "Wait till the missionary wakes up. Watch her eyes when she opens them." I'm listening to that. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. So I kind of just start, you know, doing like this in my hammock for them to know I'm waking up. I've really been awake a long time, but I hadn't opened my eyes. I hadn't opened my eyes. I was very good. You don't have to worry about getting your pajamas on or your nightgown because you just sleep in what you have on. So I slowly opened my eyes, and up above me was a humongous spider web, is that what you call them? All full of spiders, just a swinging. I don't know to this day, I didn't have the courage to ask if I made a lady like descent. But I got out of the hammock and I said, "Brothers, I believe we need to pray and go." But last December, Brother Alvear and I were up in that area in a convention. I wish you could have been there and watched scores of those people raising their hands and worshiping the God of heaven. Was it easy, Sister Alvear? Has it always been easy? No. There's been a lot of hard times, and I want you to know, even if I have to limp and say, "Lord, I'm hurting. These experiences are killing me, Lord. But I made up my mind. I'm going to make it." Sister Weeks is going to play right now. I want to ask you, friend, the nights you spend, sometimes it seems like a waste of time. Praying for people that seem like they could care less if you prayed for them. Have you ever prayed for somebody that seemed like they could care less? But you wanted them to be saved. And you sacrificed And you've given and given and given again. And those that you sacrificed for sometimes have been the one that's put the dagger the deepest in your heart and hurt you the worst. But you can't grow bitter, my friends. You gotta say, I may be hurting. I may be limping. I'm going to that city. I'm going to the city whose builder and maker is God. When I was just a little girl in Sunday school, we used to sing a song. It says, if I can just make it in. Some of you older folks probably remember singing that. If I can just make it in. I don't mind the people staring. I don't mind Sister Swindle the cross I'm bearing. I don't mind the clothes I'm wearing. If I can just make it in. It would be better to crawl into heaven than to walk into hell. Let's everyone stand. I've probably been too long-winded tonight. But I want to impress you tonight. Your worst enemy is usually yourself. And we have to pray, God, deliver me from my worst enemy. Deliver me from all that dims Calvary. Deliver me, Lord, from the cares of this world. I've got a made up mind. I want the pastor's wives to come now. I have such a burden for the pastor's wives. The tact is on. The devil knows, come on, if he can attack the pastor's wife. Half of the battle of his is already won. I want these ladies to leave this meeting with faith and strength and the determination to say, I may be broken. I may be limping. I may be wounded. But I'm not turning around. I sat down with a pastor's wife the last time I was home, and she belongs to a certain organization. She said, Sister Alviar, in our district alone, a big district, she said, I counted 34 pastor's wives that walked away from the ministry. There's an assault on. The devil would like to destroy you, precious ladies. But make up your mind, if I live on in with Giselle Behar, I'm going to make it in. And like Sister Week said, this too will pass. There's victory. There's victory. There's victory.